Redacted Media presents, in association with Ghost Hat Films, the Filmological Society. On today's episode, we continue our countdown of the BBC's 100 Greatest Comedies of All Time. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Scholes, Chad Halverson, and Candace Osler.
All right, and welcome to another podisode of the Filmological Society, where we are doing the countdown show. We are counting down the top 100 comedies of all time, according to the BBC, and big news, we are at number 50.
Wow.
We made it halfway on the list.
Do you have any stats on, not to interrupt your intro here, but do you have any stats on, like, when we started and how young we were and... what would the geopolitical situation was, and were we happier then?
Well, it I can say that only one of us had a child at that point.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, let me just go ahead and start my... I'm one of your hosts, Chris Scholes. With me, as always, is Chad Halverson. Say hello, Chad. How are you?
Hi. Sorry I interrupted your intro.
No, that's all right. That's going down as a stat. So number of intros...
Chad fucked up.
...interrupted. we're at 51 now. 51.
There it is.
Okay. So, and we also have a special guest. He joined us last time as well when we reviewed Seven Chances. It is Odin Cabal. Hello, Odin. How are you?
Hi, everybody out there in podcast land.
the Filmological Society. We're a vast and growing. I don't want to say militia, but we're something. We're definitely something. Okay, so today's film. Is the badly translated title Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. It's from 1988. It is written and directed by, and Odin, you'll have to correct me if I pronounce this incorrectly, but Pedro Almodovar.
You got it pretty good. Almodovar.
Almodovar.
Almodovar. Well, let's call him Pedro.
Yeah.
Make it easy. So, his biggest movie is probably Volver.
Yes, with Penelope Cruz. That was the one that, when it came out, I remember seeing commercials on TV, and it was in all the independent cinemas.
Yep.
It was his, I would say, most widely distributed film.
Yeah, and it definitely has the cover. Like, the front poster or whatever, like, is just basically a close-up of Penelope Cruz. So you're not going to forget that.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from 1988. The only name that a non-Spanish film connoisseurs will probably recognize will be Antonio Banderas.
Oh, no, I was going to say Guillermo Montesinos as the taxista. He's one of my personal heroes.
Yeah, well, name me, without looking on IMDb, name me two other films he's in.
I would say the one that we just watched, and that's about it, you dick.
You know, you... If you were smart, you would have said Volver as well, but, you know.
Well, and I did, like, do some light research on him. Like, I know he's been in more, but I couldn't remember which one.
And by the way, if you said Volver, you would have been wrong.
Oh, Jesus. Blood in the Sand. How could I forget Blood in the Sand, 1989?
Yeah, that came out right after this. But, yeah, so a very young Antonio Banderas. So
yeah. my note says, wow, Antonio looks like a kid.
Yeah, and I actually had my neighbor came in when I watched this, like, wow, is that Antonio? He looks really old. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he looks like a baby, and then the suit he was wearing was, like, two sizes too big.
Well, it was that late 80s, early 90s fashion of clothes being three sizes too large.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but he looked good.
He did, and it was crazy to see him cast in that role because when he got over here, he just automatically was cast as the, like, sexy guy.
Badass, yeah.
Such a nerd. He was such a nerdy dude.
Yeah, so it is fun to see him in a different role. So had either of you seen this film before?
I have not. I've only seen two other of Pedro's movies.
Okay.
And it's weird because I enjoyed those two. I enjoyed this one a lot. And it's crazy because whenever I'm looking around for something to watch, I never really think to check his movies out, even though three out of three I've enjoyed a lot. So he has a good track record with me so far.
Well, yeah, you're like his steady audience, so that's good. That's good. So thank you, Odin. Chad, what were your thoughts watching it?
I had fun with it. It was fun predicting what was probably going to happen. Because there were a lot of, like, mishaps and, you know, all these things that Peppa tries to go through to figure out what the hell's going on. And it just keeps piling on. So it was fun guessing, like, I think somebody's going to drink that gazpacho later on. You know, like, just little stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that little setup there. And by the way, like, I am now, like, well, it's, you know, middle of a pandemic, but I am planning to keep a pitcher of gazpacho in my fridge at all times for guests.
With Quaaludes?
Well, you know, that will be the surprise, I guess.
Oh, so like if I come over and we're like, hey, good to see you. You know, we elbow and then there's just a thing of gazpacho right there. And you're not going to say
I'll
anything.
Ask, like, are you like kind of like thirsty and hungry at the same time? Like, I got some gazpacho, like, hit the spot.
Yeah.
Did all those that scene of her cutting tomatoes give either of you, like, extreme anxiety?
Oh, totally, because she was, like, cutting them so wrong.
And they were really, like, squishy looking, and it just gave me extreme, I felt very uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, that's a credit to the director. I'd be curious to watch more of Pedro's movies to see how he does comedy, because the one note I have, like the major note I have, is it's definitely way more visual for a comedy than not. I mean, we've definitely had some more artistic looking films on this list that were funny. But I think it's definitely a West Coast Western culture versus you know, Eastern and Western Europe, like
non Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean they're always fucking better at us at everything. But
it's crazy to me though, because to me the setup of the film feels like a throwback to a Cary Grant screwball.
Yeah.
The thing runs
a little bit.
It's all about miscommunications, people not listening or talking too much. You get a lot of that fast paced. We gotta go. Something like His Girl Friday or what's that? Bringing Up Baby feels very much. And there were some of that at that time in the '80s. There were some people trying to bring that screwball back. They did a remake around the same time of Bringing Up Baby with Madonna in it, and
I'm surprised it didn't do better. I mean, everyone knows Madonna for her comedic acting.
Yeah, and Jeff Goldblum was getting cast in a lot of screwball types. He did a movie, I think it was with Debbie Harry.
The 80s when Jeff Goldblum was a sex symbol.
Yeah, so it was definitely a thing people were like, I think, drawing towards, but I think this one is very much more successful where those other ones were not successful.
Well, it's honestly, I mean, obviously we, you know, success is a different measure because this would be, you know, I'm guessing it would have been big in Spain, in a lot of Spanish speaking countries and in Europe in general, but it obviously did not make much of an impact over here. You know, I mean, the 80s wasn't known for bringing in a lot of foreign films into the mainstream. Like it is today. I think today it's better just because there's the access difference, right? Like now we can access film so much easier than we could in 1988. So,
yeah, and you didn't have your big. I mean, there's always been different independent booms, but the big one, at least the one that affected me the most, was definitely one in the early 90s. You know, with Rodriguez. You know, speaking of our guy Antonio here.
Antonio?
Yeah, like, you know, you got your Robert Rodriguez's, your Kevin Smith's, your Tarantino's, where they could subvert that elite Hollywood or those, you know, big companies making all the shots and buying up everything, and they can still make a good movie, turn a good profit with more creative control than they ever had before.
Well, and those guys are playing really in a genre sandbox.
Yeah. Yeah,
American audiences are more apt to going to. And I think that's why, like, I don't watch Pedro's movies so much, because my attention gets drawn to these genre movies before. And that's sad, because it's just the way I'm hardwired as someone who consumes media in America, instead of thinking like, oh, I should watch this comedy about middle-aged women because it could be good. I'm going to watch something that, you know, is more like I'm used to it, and you're either watching it because it's a comforting thing, or you're watching it to see how it subverts the form, instead of watching something that you just can kind of let it wash over you because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, and well, and to be fair too, you know, like, as you're looking for a movie to watch, a movie about, you know, middle-aged women going through a breakdown, you're probably not the main market for that type of film, to be fair.
But to be fair. It's crazy, because I loved it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I really, it has so much energy. And I think that it had a lot going on, like, visually. The colors were, I don't want to say vibrant, because they were kind of flat, but just.
They definitely had purpose.
Yeah, they had purpose, and he didn't, like, color correct. It felt like he was just using natural color, which is, I guess, it looked strange to me, because now I'm so used to colors not really looking natural when you watch a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like, it was kind of, you had some outside shots. 90% of the film was in her apartment, right? So you had a well-controlled space. You had a lot of access to natural light, it looked like if this was on a location.
It was a set.
Beautiful.
It was a set.
It was a set?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It looked beautiful.
If you, when they do the turnarounds looking out at the city, that's definitely a backdrop.
Okay.
But they lit the hell out of it to make it look natural. Like, it definitely looks natural, but and I mean, that makes sense. Like, if you're gonna, it had a low budget of, I mean, even low budget in 1980s, $700,000 in Spain isn't a lot. So building a set and having controlled everything is definitely gonna get more bang for your buck. Plus, you can light fires.
Maybe that set is what made it feel more like those screwballs, because they filmed all of those on sets.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm gonna bring it to me, but
okay, let's go to Chad.
Go to me. Chad Helverson here. Okay, I think. So you earlier on the top, you said you were talking about the poorly named title or translation.
Yes.
What's the original translation? Or what is it supposed to be?
It's that there are words that aren't translatable.
We don't have them in the English language because
we don't have them in the English language, yeah.
Spanish so is a like very complex and beautiful language.
Well, they have I'm sorry. I feel like I'm the Spanish language expert here because I took like 4 years of it.
Oh, I did too, but I barely passed it. So Odin can attest for that.
I did a little bit better. But they have the use vosotros part of it, which we do not have here. Not that I think that that has anything to do with it. But, yeah, doing research for this, it was something that, like, just the feeling, it's not a nervous breakdown that they're going through. It's something else.
It's more and like they're going to faint or like a hypertension. Gotcha. Like their heart can't stop.
Yep. Yeah. So the closest that we have in the English language is nervous breakdown.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, because I felt like the title was like, not overtly sexist, but like the cliche of like, oh, she's just having a nervous breakdown. You know what I mean? Well, kind of sounds lame.
The joke of the title in Spanish is that, you know, it's someone who's about to faint or someone who's fainting or going to fall over, and everybody ends up falling over because they drink that gazpacho.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and
that's cool.
And she faints twice in it,
yeah.
Right?
Once in the beginning, yeah.
Once in the beginning and one near the end. And by the way, for those of you listening at home or in the car or wherever, you may hear our sponsor in the background. That's right. This week, we are sponsored by the State Fair Park Drag Racing Tuesday near Chad's house. So, if you have a car and you want to drag race it, you can go down to your local street to drag race some punks, or you can head to the State Fair Park and drag race there on Tuesdays, weather permitting.
I think this might be the last one. Milwaukee Mile Street or Drags, yeah. And there's some horses out there too for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, I mean you want to race those.
But yeah, this will be going on until 11 o'clock. So enjoy.
So sounds like next summer. I pull the sponsors, and it just happened to be this one. They probably won't be back next year. Whatever. We'll get by. We'll get bigger sponsors.
I would love to see you drag race your car, my friend.
My Mazda?
Yeah.
Oh, if only I had my stick shift Saturn still, then I would.
Ooh.
Without a stick shift. I don't know. All right. So let's get a little bit into the performances now. Really, this centered around one of the women mentioned that faints, Peppa. She faints twice. She actually faints versus knocking everyone out. She's played by Carmen Moira, who was in a couple of Pedro's other films, but it took her a while to work with Pedro again after this film, just because it was very intense on the set. And so she refused to work with him for a while after that. What did you guys think of Carmen's performance as the lead, Peppa?
I really liked it. But I have to say, this is a movie where the characters on the periphery really steal the show.
Yeah, she plays kind of the straight man in it, you know, in the comedy world. You know, she's the one that's taking most of the jokes, or she's the setup to the jokes. Because the other characters definitely definitely carry, and we'll get into some of those soon, including, of course, Chad's favorite, Guillermo. But we'll get into him a little bit. Chad, what do you think of Carmen's performance? Do you think she pulled it off as that straight person?
Yeah, and
as the story?
I liked her arc. Like, her arc felt natural, especially in the beginning. Like, I mean, man or woman, nobody likes to be stood up by somebody that they're in love with. And if I were in the same shoes, I would have gone to great lengths to try to figure out what the hell was going on. What's his name?
Isn't it Ivan?
Ivan. Where is Ivan? I like her, you know, she goes from trying to figure out why. And then, you know, we figure out why she's so, you know, she's so committed to trying to find out what's going on because she's pregnant, which is very easily picked up earlier on. But, yeah. You know, she and she goes, I don't know if like she goes through like many stages of grief throughout the whole thing, but it definitely feels natural where she's like, well, what the hell? And by the end of it, she's like, I don't care. He's not worth it. He's obviously more complicated and an asshole, and I don't want to deal with it. But she still owed an allegiance to him, knowing that his wife was going to, you know, try to kill him. So she did the right thing, but she didn't do it for herself or for him. She just did it because it's the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but that helped close the chapter. She's like, I don't need him. She obviously, if she can handle an assassination attempt, raising a baby shouldn't be an issue as a single parent.
Yeah. It's definitely a lesser responsibility, I guess. In a way, though, the, you know, the baby does try to kill you a lot, so.
And or the baby tries to kill itself a lot.
Yeah, all that.
Babies.
All right, so then, really, she's, to me, she's really the only, like, main character, right? Like, everyone else is in and out, and.
It's like a sitcom where you have your main character and we kind of weave in and out of that A story, but then there's this like B plot, C plot that we keep checking back in with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this were a sitcom, it'd be called Peppa.
With an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah, well, and it'd be Spanish, so there'd be the on upside both sides. Down exclamation yeah. point and then the right one. So that would be the TV show.
It's that whole juggling plates, and they keep tossing plates in.
Yeah.
Cats keep going around and around, where first it starts with her, but as people keep intruding into her life, it keeps throwing another plate into the juggle, and you're waiting for when all of these, you know, all of these things close up. You know, as we hit the end of the film. Yep.
And then she gives them all gazpacho, and doesn't matter what happens to the plates at that point.
Yeah.
Because they're all on the floor. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about, we'll get into some of these characters. And Odin or Chad, if there's any characters that you want to talk about specifically.
There are two very specific characters, but I'll wait till the end because.
Well, there's.
These are my guys, or I'll say yeah. my gals.
So there's Carlos, played by Antonio Banderas. So he is the son of Ivan, not by Peppa, but by Ivan's first wife. And he has his fiancée. That was Marissa?
Candela.
No, it's Marissa.
No. Candela's her is the
Candela's
new girl.
Her friend. Marissa is the fiance. I have the cast yeah. up on my phone yeah. so I can.
Marissa is the fiance.
Straight.
And they come over to look at the house, not ever knowing Peppa. And then there's Candela. She's the other one that I wanted to point out, who is Peppa's friend who was dating and sleeping with a terrorist. And thinks the police are after her now?
Yeah, Shiite Muslims.
Yeah.
It definitely was the 80s.
That was a yeah. plot point that, like, I feel like now when you watch it, like, I wasn't sure what to make of it. But then I thought, what was going on in Spain in the 80s? I don't really even know. Was this something that was, like, a really politically charged thing? And he was making some kind of statement? Or is it just a joke? I guess I could have done research into that, but I didn't. So
yeah.
it felt that I think was the part that felt the most standing out to me, just because I had no frame of reference for it.
Yeah. I mean, I know in the 80s, you know, in the United States where I was, like the terrorism and all that wasn't as scary as it is today. Like, you know, this was well pre 9/11 and all that, but over in Europe, it's a different world. There it was a lot closer, and in Spain, you know, there's a lot more of the Muslim culture there. So, yeah, I would imagine that it's a little bit different. It felt a little bit more like that something could happen like that. They'd be more prepared, and the police would be doing their due diligence and things like that. So, but I was, maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. But why Candela and Carlos continually make out with each other as the fiance Marissa, who was drugged and sleeping on the deck, is like right there as well. I know at first, like part of it was the cover for the police, but they started making out before that.
Well, you can tell, Antonio, and this is why this performance by Banderas really stuck out to me, because we're used to him being this very, like, he is the guy that the girls want. He is the guy in charge of those types of relationships. He's the Latin Lothario. But in this, he's a very henpecked, quiet, nerdy guy.
Yeah.
And you can tell even in the scene where the first time we meet them together, she is very much just like mean to him. And
yeah.
And I think Candela is very much like him, where she allows Peppa to kind of run over her when she's trying to explain this problem. And Peppa is just, just bullying her verbally, like not letting her even get a word out. And I think that kind of makes them kindred spirits to each other.
Yeah. And you know, and I guess with Marissa, it's out of sight, out of mind type of thing, right?
Yeah.
She's in the other room passed out. We can make out here.
Mm-hmm.
But it did seem like Candela was the they both instigated it towards
maybe,
each other.
Maybe it's too, like, Ivan is a guy who is not faithful to women, and maybe the son is the same, and that's something that they're trying to do in that performance.
So what were you going to say, Chad?
Just doing some research. For 700 years, actually, Muslims controlled Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it, where there's just still like tension from years of, you know, I mean,
and again, you know, the Muslim hotbed of North Africa is right across, Gibraltar there. So it's very close. So what characters stood out to you, Chad?
I love the cab driver. He was so funny. He had the best cab. He had the best music. He had it was like a five-star Uber driver before Uber was even a thing. Like, he had gum and he had cologne. It was like going into a strip club bathroom, but like not the awkwardness of like, you know, going into a strip club bathroom. Yeah. Well, and then the cool thing was the little tie-in at the end where what did she need? Aspirin? And he didn't have any. The second trip?
Eye drops.
That's it. And then they got him after she got the gazpacho thrown in her face and her eyes were burning. They get into the cab and he's like, here you go. Because she made the suggestion last time that she needed him. Like, he was not really a central character, but a nice character to weave back and forth. There's always that, like, I'm trying to think of the model. But just those goofy characters that kind of come in and out, they serve a little purpose for the plot, but they're not like a big, you know, nothing hinges on this character other than to kind of move the plot along, get us to the next scene, and make a few jokes in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was fun. Yeah. His cab was fun. And it definitely brought, Peppa, since that was like his only customer. Brought her to like a different world than what she was in regularly. So it felt like a nice little comedic release could happen right there. What about you, Odin? What were your standout characters?
I got two characters that caught my eye, and I said, these are my people. Number one, the Jehovah's Witness door lady who can tell a lie. I loved her. She had giant hair. She was super funny. And I just loved what she said. When she said, I can't lie to him. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And she was like, I'm not asking you to lie. I'm just asking you not to tell him something. And oh, I loved her. And then they had another scene of her. I forget what it was, but it was like her at her desk. And I just loved the attention he paid to that little room that she worked in because it felt like her space. It had her little things on her desk. I forget what she was doing. She was reading. Was she reading or on the phone? I can't remember. But I fell in love with that character. The other character I really loved was Anna, who was the heavy metal redhead girl with the hair and the spiky jacket who's always waiting for her boyfriend. And then the minute he showed up, he got abducted, and she was super mad. And she kept saying...
Yeah, she's like mad at him, all jealous that he's running off with another woman.
Yes, and she kept looking to see if she was grabbing his crotch while she had him at gunpoint. She was fantastic. I loved that jacket with the spikes on it. That looked like something I wore in high school.
It was exactly what you would have worn in high school.
Yeah. Oh, they were awesome. So Jehovah's Witness lady and Anna, the metal girl who lived, I think, below Peppa or above Peppa.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the same building. Yeah.
Same building.
Yeah, she ran into her a couple times, I think. And then in the end, she becomes more critical. All right, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to help you a little bit. We've dropped some plot points here and there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Let's see how you do now. Remember, you can phone a friend.
Mm-hmm.
50-50. Or I think that's it. I know there's one more, but we're not going to give that one to you. You're good.
All right. So here's women on the verge of a nervous breakdown. So Peppa all of a sudden loses the love of her life. They're both actors. They're voiceover actors. They dub films for Spanish. And he up and leaves. And he keeps doing this stupid bullshit. It's shit that I would do if I was this cowardly. But, like, call when you know she's not home or, like, leave messages with other people. Like, he's definitely dodging her. And she... Her main point is just to figure out what's going on. And she ends up figuring out in the beginning that she's pregnant. Great. So on the verge of her conquest to find Yvonne, she runs into the current wife. She meets the son and the son's fiance. And she finds like a loophole, like, you know, all right, I can use his son to get him. But, you know, he's a shitty father. So they're all at her apartment because she wants to sell it because she wants to get out of there. And earlier the night before, she tries killing herself, and she ended up making gazpacho and taking all these sleeping pills and grinding them up, but she didn't drink the whole thing. So then this fiance, man, I'm going way, way too specific with this. Let me...
Well, I think the problem is
it's not too really many weaving stories and like
and very specific stories that
everything that sets each other up.
Yep, yep. So it's hard. That's why I gave you the 50-50 and phone a friend.
No. No. All right. So Marissa's the fiance. And she finds the gazpacho because she's freaking thirsty. She passes out. And now they're like, all right, well, great. Because she was kind of like this annoying person that was kind of like being a pain in the ass. And Antonio Banderas' character, what's his name? Carlos. So Carlos is just trying to be nice and do the right thing. And trying to help this woman because she's obviously scorned and she's not going to give up. So getting Marissa out of the picture. Oh, fuck, I just spilled all my water everywhere. Oh, good thing it was not on my computer.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing.
It's a good thing there's not a Mogwai running around down there.
Yeah. So Peppa, sorry, I'm gonna, goddamn. So Peppa's friend comes in, Candela. She's got a huge problem, and Peppa's like completely ignoring her because she's got her own problems, and she keeps saying it. It's like, dude, we all got problems. Dude, just, I'm done with it.
Yeah,
and
deal with it.
Deal with it. And eventually she tries to kill herself over this. So then it's finally that point where Peppa's like, all right, what's going on? And she's like, these Shiite Muslims came in and I slept with one of them. And then they essentially just moved in and took advantage. And I'm afraid for my life and I'm afraid the cops are going to come get me. So she's like, all right, you can chill here, crash in my place. So, and then throughout all this, Peppa is trying to meet with a lawyer to help her friend's case. She's also, like, following up on leads on where the hell...
A feminist lawyer.
A feminist lawyer who ends up being just a complete prick, and you find out later it's because she's banging Yvonne. But she won't take the case, and she's just being a prick. So then, and then earlier on, Carlos and Candela, they're like talking. And he's like, we should just tell the police. Like, and she doesn't want to do it because she doesn't want to muck it up. And he's like super nervous and probably not the best person to do it, but she convinces him to do it. And he calls in a credible threat because she knows that they're going to bomb one of the flights going out. Of Madrid. So then fast forward to end of second act where the scorned wife comes in with a does she have a gun at that point? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in her purse.
It's in her purse.
Was it a cop gun?
That's right. Yeah, she didn't have a gun. She just came to
the deal.
Yeah, she just came to deal with Peppa.
She's also legitimately, like, she basically escaped from an insane asylum.
Because she got out early. She lied. She faked being better to get out. And it's at this point that two cops come in and are like, hey, somebody called in saying that there's a terrorist thing going to happen. And everybody's trying to protect everyone except for the original wife. And everybody's like, hey, gazpacho? Gazpacho? Let's do gazpacho. cops
do gazpacho.
Yeah, cops drink the gazpacho.
You guys notice that the cops that come to her house are the same cops in that commercial?
Yes, I did. That was so weird, and I totally forgot about that. You're right. Oh, man, that's such a cool, like, that's such a cool thing to do. I love it. But, yeah, so... cops drink the gazpacho, and then there's a standoff between the mother and the mistress, and the mother runs out. She gets on a motorcycle, and then there's like a car cab motorcycle chase that happens, and she's essentially going to the airport, and it's the same flight that's supposed to have this terrorist on it. But she's going to go and essentially kill her husband. Remember, this is 1989, where you could literally just walk into an airport with so many different things. But yeah, she walks in, attempts to kill herself. But in the end, Peppa comes in. She pushes a cart into her, stops her from killing him. Yvonne's like, I owe you everything. Let's get away together. I'm so horny. And she's like, no, dick. She doesn't tell him about the kid. She doesn't tell him anything other than she's done. Go fuck yourself. End of movie. I'm a badass.
Basically.
And then she goes back to her apartment.
For that talk with Morant. With
yeah. Marissa. Marissa. Yeah.
Marissa.
Because Marissa finally wakes up from the coma she had. There's like a day and a half coma. And then she sees her fiance like sleeping next to Candela. And she's like, Peppa's like, don't worry about it. I'll explain it later. And then they just strike up a personal conversation, and that's the end of the movie. That was like a 8-minute fucking ramble of nothing.
Yeah, and you the thing is, there's so many plot points that you are leaving for our audience to watch this film.
There's a ton of small touches.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, especially a lot of times too, it's done through the visual. Like, I didn't even get to talk about the phone gag, and there's another guy in the apartment, the phone fixer. Yeah,
like, shows up to fix the phone because back in the day.
But he conveniently shows up though when she's trying to back up the claim that she hadn't used the phone all day. Yeah. And then the wife is like, "No, she called me. I just talked to her." And the phone guy comes in and he's like, "Oh, I was called this morning." Oh yeah, this definitely is not workable, you know, even though it had been fixed before by Carlos. So I don't know. I'm not gonna say it's my favorite movie, but it's a really good movie. It's just good.
I'm actually very interested in Criterion put out a Blu-ray of it, and I'm very interested in picking that up just because I know sometimes with Amazon they don't do the greatest job with restoration, and I'd like to see what they did with this and to see what the supplementals are like. If they got Pedro to do some commentary and talk about some things going on, because there's a lot of questions I have. Just even the fact that they're voiceover actors doing old American films, and it's like, it's kind of weird because we as an American audience are reading these subtitles, and it's like thinking, kind of putting us in their shoes, where it's like, and was he thinking about that? Was he like, "I'm going to do this because if people are watching this and they're not Spanish speakers, was that an intent?" And then the idea of this guy with these like fake buildings in his office, and they're working, the whole thing's filmed in a studio. Is he commenting on that? There's just so many little things that left me with questions. And I think that's why I loved it, was there were things that really made me think. A lot of shots through windows, and they shoot her through the window of the telephone booth when she's spying on the wife. She's looking through this window. Just a lot of things that I wasn't sure about, but were very interesting to think about.
Yeah, definitely worth a second watch.
So, speaking of second watches, there was talk of doing an American remake.
Of course.
I read about that.
Yeah, so it was to be directed by Richard Benjamin.
Richard Benjamin.
Richard Benjamin. You probably know more of a actor. He has some sprinkling in movies. The Goodbye Girl is a TV movie. Wonderful World of Disney he did.
Oh, he's in the original Westworld.
He's in the original Westworld. He's in Catch-22. He's in the latest thing he's been in is Children's Hospital, the TV. So he has some comedic acting chops. Peppa's role would have been played by Jane Fonda. So this probably, they were probably looking at this in the early 90s, I'm guessing, because, you know, you can't go much later than that and Jane Fonda being realistically able to be pregnant.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, there is that part of it. But yeah, it did, in the U.S., it did cross the $7 million mark for money made. So it did relatively well here for a $700,000 film, making $7 million. That's good, and that's just with the U.S. gross.
Yeah, it's you. I looked it up; it's North American, so it's Canada too. But still, like, listen, man, I may be moving there in a couple months. So, for real,
that's true. Yeah, we all love Canada.
I am not going to besmirch another country.
I know I know it's a movie that as a kid. My grandmother being Cuban, like, it was a movie that I remember. I forget if they had a VHS copy of it or if I just remember her talking about it or watching it on Spanish HBO, which they had. Mm-hmm. But I remember hearing about it with her talking to my uncle, who's a big Pedro fan. So it's a movie I've heard of, but just have never seen.
Yeah, it's I mean, I said earlier, like, I recognize the cover, the poster for Volver. I should probably figure out how it's said, but I'm going to say it both ways just to cover everything. But I've heard of him as a director before, but I haven't really seen, well, anything that he's done. So I'm happy that I saw this one. Yeah, Chad, I'm going to agree with you. It was good. I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite from this list. It's not even my favorite Spanish speaking film that we've covered on this list. But it was definitely, I mean, it was, what I liked about it is I think you had a lot more, with the director having written it and also directing it, just a lot more control and a lot more of those, like, intricacies, like those little stories that really helped carry the film along, made all the characters interesting, like you had said earlier, Odin.
Well, yeah, even the ones who have very little time feel so fully fleshed out. I mean, they feel like living characters, even if you only see them for 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, even like the secretary in the recording studio.
Yeah.
She has a good little couple bits there. Yeah, it's
like they all have their own personal style. Like I think the costumes do a lot in this movie to communicate who these people are.
Well, and she goes through, Peppa has multiple costume changes throughout this whole thing that kind of like represents the mood she's in, especially when she switches over to like something a little sexier and it's like, you know, beet red.
Yeah, like, and as the original wife gets more and more unhinged, her hair becomes more elaborate.
Yeah.
And her costumes become more elaborate. She almost looks like the Wicked Witch of the West on the back of that motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a good reference, I think, that they make there. It's a good connection.
Well, and they definitely accent that point that she was on that bike because they show her hair flapping back, and they do a very long shot of her profile. Yeah. Gotta get her just that little extra crazy for the end.
I think there's just so much going on. I think there's a lot you could dissect in it and jump in. And
yeah, I feel like this is definitely more of a, not that any of these films that have been on this list couldn't be in a college class, but like I feel like this would have been like something where I would have been in my junior year. This would have been like a sleeper hit that I would have been shown, and we would have had a good time talking about. Not that I'm not having a good time talking about it now, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I think we all agree that this was a fine film. I think when we get down to it, Chad, and we look at what our top 10, I think for both of us, this is not going to be a top 10 film, but it's one that I'm glad that I watched. I'm glad, like we talked about many times with this, like we get exposed to films that we've never heard of, never seen, don't have any whatever of, and we are shocked at times of like, how have I not seen this film? And I think this falls into that. Like, this is a fun story, and I'm personally glad that it wasn't remade right away. Will it be remade at some point? I'm guessing it will be.
It probably will
although
be.
Although you lose some of the gags, right? Like the phone gag, the answering machine gag. You know, like a lot of this film would have been cleared up with a quick video chat.
If you look up IMDb pre-production, looks like Pedro in 2022 has a movie called out A Manual for Cleaning Women. So maybe that's a sequel or a prequel or something completely different.
Yeah. So again, I want to thank our sponsor, the State Fairground Drag Racing Tuesdays. Come down every Tuesday, starting in 2021, probably around June.
Probably.
Yeah, around June. You know, obviously, you can drag race in a pandemic. That's not a problem. So thank you to them for being our sponsor, and you could hear it in the background. Odin, thank you again for joining us.
No, I love it. I have a blast. You know, there's not many people that I can just sit and talk to movies that are not super mainstream movies. I mean, I'm always looking to broaden my scope of what I watch, and you know, it's sad when you don't have anyone to share it with. So it's good for me.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, and we'll definitely have you back again for a future film. But yeah. Thank you. Any final thoughts from you, Odin?
My only final thought is thinking about the other two movies I saw, which were of Pedro's, which were Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, which was the one he made after this, and The Skin I Live In, I believe is the name of it. And both of those,
I want to see that one.
Both of those films feature people who escaped from mental institutions. So it's a trifecta of mental institution escapees in these three movies that I've seen, all three of them.
Maybe that's what he does.
Yeah, it's like a running theme through his movies. But the Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down definitely gives you more of the sexier Banderas. He's the lead in that one.
Chad, any final thoughts before we talk about our next film?
No, I liked, well, no, but
so then yes.
Yes. I like how, and I mean, people's personalities change, you know, as decades go on. This is a 30-year-old film, but I liked how there were different types of strong women. Like, they were all strong in their own yes. way, and they all had their own problems, but they all had their way of, like, dealing with the stress that is living as a woman, because I'm not going to pretend that doesn't exist. But I liked that, how those different psyches and those personalities interacted with each other throughout the whole movie. And then, like, Carlos was, like, just this bumbling, cute idiot in a sea of, like, maybe they weren't all super smart, or maybe they weren't all headstrong, but they all were effective and brave in their own way.
Yeah, I agree. I in my notes, and I missed this, and I apologize.
I just read your notes. That's why. You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the strength of the women characters in this film, was nice to see. I mean, the fact that even, you know, they could, you know, Pepa wasn't looking to get back with Ivan. She didn't need Ivan in her life, or Ivan, to exist, right? And how many films or stories are written where the female lead, she needs a man in order to have purpose or whatever. In this one, she didn't. She needed to let him know she was pregnant. That's why she wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
She wasn't asking him for anything. She wasn't going to beg him to stay or anything like that. At least that's how her character evolved, right? Because obviously at first she's trying to kill herself, so she's...
Yeah, at first she definitely, like, loved him and maybe wanted to know why or needed to get back with him, but there was a point where she did not care anymore. Like, she just needed closure.
And how she dealt with Marissa at the end, just sitting and just saying, don't worry about them. Let's talk. We got stuff that we have to talk about, Marissa. They're going to be out for a while. So, yeah, I imagine there at the end when you got the two cops, you have Carlos and Candela. You have the phone guy all waking up. If I were Peppa, you know, I'm out of there, right?
I like to believe she you know, her and the phone guy, I think. She said he was cute.
Yeah, she said she needed a rebound.
So Marissa helped get the phone guy down to her car and down to Guillermo waiting down there in his taxi?
Yeah, and they just drive off into the sunset.
That's such a sweet ending. We should let Pedro know that to redo this film with that ending. All right. So our next film, Chad, that we'll be reviewing next, is a repeat director and writer. So Luis Bernal, he is a Spanish-Mexican writer-director. He did The Exterminating Angel, if you remember that one.
Is that the one with the party where nobody could leave?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. So this is from 1972, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie.
It even says comedy fantasy, so it's going to be a mind trip. Great. I can't wait.
Yep. And this one is available for free on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
It's included in Amazon Prime.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Watch now.
So.
For once.
So, yeah. So, for those of you who prefer to listen to Odin talk than us, he will be on another podcast. We have a special guest already scheduled for this one. This next one, or else I would have asked you, Odin, to join us again. But you will. We have 49 more movies to go, so there are plenty for you to join us on. So again, thank you very much, Odin.
No, it's a pleasure and an honor.
You don't have to lie that much.
And remember, Chad, why don't you do the ending this time?
I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I can't lie.
It's don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and don't trust Whitey.
And get rid of it.
And get rid of it. But you do it better though. You do it better.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to give you. I figure like I did the first 50. You do the last 50.
Yeah, but I'm not the host. I'm not like I need another 50 episodes before I can like really usurp your position.
Oh.
All right. Don't buy a donkey for
no.
Okay.
No. Lord loves a working man.
That's it.
Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it. Thank you, everybody.
The Filmological Society is a production of Redacted Media in association with Ghost Hat Media. For more information, find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, or visit us at www.ghosthat.net.